You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources has a limited number of PVS-30 night vision scopes for $4,700. These are the top-of-the-line night vision scopes used by the U.S. military, which normally sell for over $11,000. Turn your 12-hour rifle into a 24-hour rifle. Visit Ready-Made Resources to get your PVS-30 today. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the recording of my recent appearance on the God and Guns podcast with Troy and Doug. Enjoy the show.
All right, so we're glad to have Mark Goodwin with us tonight. Mark is a Christian author and host of the popular Prepper Recon podcast, which interviews patriots, preppers, and economists to help prepare for the uncertain times ahead. His previous fiction series, The Days of Noah, spent several months at number one on the Amazon bestsellers list in multiple categories. His first series, The Economic Collapse Chronicles, also hit Amazon's bestsellers list in several categories. So welcome on the show, Mark.
Troy, welcome. Doug, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be on the show.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. It's all my fault that I didn't have you on before, but I was a noob and I didn't know what I was doing when I took over the podcast. You reached out to me. Gosh, it's been a couple, two years, maybe 3 years ago. I don't remember the exact days, like 2013, 14. When your first book had come out, and I think maybe you were working on your second one, and I said, I'd get back with you, or not. You sent me the book, and then I messed up and didn't have you back. So that's all my fault.
but you know, maybe it worked out for the good because, I've got a lot more books out now and we've got a lot more stuff to talk about.
Yeah. Sure do. So I was telling you, talking with you before the show, before we started on here, to get my listeners up to speed. Your books, and I had started back with Economic Collapse Chronicles. Worked my way through that, and then got into The Days of Noah. Really enjoyed that, and then I got into the Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt series. And these are series of books, so there's not just one book in this. Was it three in each one of these series, except for the latest one?
Yeah, the Economic Collapse Chronicles, that's a three-book series. The Days of Right. Noah was a three-book series. Of course, you know, for anybody that's read any of the Tim LaHaye books, the Left mm-hmm. Behind series, you know, that picks up at the rapture. So I wanted to know, right. what does it look like in the years prior to the rapture? What's those, you know, Jesus talks about the birth pangs that we're going to see right. in that lead up time. And I said, how bad could that be? Because I hear so many folks, especially, you know, when you start talking about eschatology, you've got the pre-trib people, the mid-trib people, the post-trib people, the, you know, people like me that are pan-trib, which means, right. you know, it'll all pan out when Jesus comes back.
But, I'm into that, yeah.
but especially in the pre-trib, school of thought, you've got so many folks that say, you know, well, I don't really have to worry about persecution or any of that kind of thing because Jesus is going to come get me before anything bad ever happens. Well, that's not working out so well for the folks in the right. Middle East or China or, America now, you know, Kim Davis. She spent time in jail in America for her beliefs. You know, right. Coach Joe Kennedy lost his job over his beliefs. You know, this kind of thing is ongoing. We had the folks out in Oregon that had the Sweet Cakes Bakery. You know, they lost their business. They were sued out of business over their beliefs. You know, and Jesus didn't come back and get them yet. So there could be persecution here.
Right.
And I wanted to write a series of books that looked at, you know, okay, let's assume that you're right with the pre-trib rapture. How bad could it get prior to a pre-trib rapture? You know, and so it was just sort of a thought experiment on that. And it was just going to be a three book series that, without being too much of a spoiler here, was supposed to culminate with the rapture. Well, of course, you know, some of the characters in the book were like the wise versions and the virgins, and they had the oil in their lamp, and then some others didn't. So, you know, their tails got left behind. So, I had a lot of folks write me and say, you know, well, we want to know what happens with the guys that were left behind. So, that turned into another, series, which is probably going to be a 4-book series by the time it's all said and done, which is The Days of Elijah. And, the first book's out in that. And then, the other series is, 7 Cows, Ugly and Gaunt. And that's going to be a 4-book series.
I have to tell you, you brought up the apocalypse, book, what was it? The Days of Elijah. I about fell out of my chair when you hit the section where Elijah is house clearing with the other two. Because I'm sitting here thinking about Elijah of the Bible, house clearing with a shotgun.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
we forget how hardcore these people in the Bible were, you know?
Yeah.
Elijah, he slaughtered all those prophets of Baal. He's sitting there, right. You know, when the challenge is going on, you know, he's mocking them, saying, you know, where's your God? Is he in the bathroom? Mm-hmm. You know, is he on vacation? Is he asleep? Yeah. You know, he's mocking these people. You know, he's not this mamby-pamby, seeker-friendly pastor that we've got in America these days. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Jesus wasn't either. He was a very in-your-face person. You know, he said,
and went into that temple and went to work.
He said, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. You know, that's not a very seeker-friendly statement.
No.
You know, we gotta season, yeah. We have to season the truth with grace. But so many of the churches today are selling easy grace. They're enabling sin, and they're not saving souls. The pews and the coffers are full, but it's all for nothing. All that time and money would have been better spent fishing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a great need for truthful preaching and taking a stand that I believe has alienated a lot of our military. That I know several guys that say, I don't want any part of this peace, love, and hippie version of the Bible kind of thing. You know, they want to stand on truth. And, I think that they feel sort of not welcome into the church because they have that warrior mentality of they had to go and do a job and then they come back and are getting a guilt trip.
Yeah. That's absolutely, that's pathetic. You know,
right, yeah.
Jesus never had any type of, condemnation for the Roman centurion. You know, Paul praised the keepers of the peace, even the, you know, in Romans 13, these are even Roman. Of course, that's another chapter that's gets taken way out of context by these hippie pastors. Oh, yeah. But, you know, there was never anything bad said about warriors. In fact, most of the Old Testament is all warriors. You know, there's a verse that says, and I can't place it right now, but it says God is a warrior, you know?
Right.
And
I mean, David is your example of a warrior.
Absolutely.
I mean, so you see David, he's always in between. Either he's, you know, battling and defeating, or he's in remorse, or he's in, you know, fear. Psalms is just, and all the books that revolve around David are just really great, I think, for those guys that have had to struggle with being in the military and having to kill and having to do things for a purpose and then suffering the consequences on the back end of that. And then how that God, you know, soothes that and you can see God working in David's life to repair the damage that he's had to endure with his emotions and being sought after and tried to be killed and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. You know, back to this idea about the pastors. You know, this is an absolute epidemic in America, and it's everything from, you know, from their go along to get along attitude and belittling soldiers for being warriors. But you know, crosswalk.com did a survey back in 2005, and they found that 54% of the pastors polled admitted to looking at porn. And so, you know, and then out of the other 46%, how many of those do you think lied? And I know you think that a pastor wouldn't lie, but, you know, I would have said the same thing about I'm not looking at porn, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we have to remember pastors are men. And so, and as men, we sin.
Absolutely.
And we will continue to sin until Jesus returns. Not that I'm saying it's okay to sin, but when we sin, we are to repent.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proven to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on gold and silver. Check out silver.com today. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com.
I want to badmouth pass. I think Chuck Baldwin is a good. Have you ever had Chuck on your show?
No. And he's wonderful. And there's some great pastors. And I don't want to badmouth good pastors. But I do want to badmouth bad pastors, because if you're in a church that has a bad pastor, you need to get out of there, because you're the spiritual leader for your family.
Amen.
And you've got to make sure that they're in a place that's under anointing. If you can't find that, then you need to start a home fellowship in your home. And we've got to get out of these apostate churches, because it's, like I said, it's an absolute epidemic in America. And let's say those stats are accurate and that none of the other 46% lied. It's my contention that probably a large part of the 46%, now out of that 40%, 6% that aren't, there's this portion in there that are praying and fasting and doing the things, doing the discipline that they got to do to keep their self pure. But I'd say there's a large portion of that 46% that the reason they're not being taken down is because the devil doesn't want them taken down. You know, they're lukewarm. They're not engaged in the fight. They're not speaking out against abortion. They're scared to talk about politics in the pulpit. And so Satan's happy with them right there, and he doesn't want to do anything that would upset the apple cart and cause them to lose their position at the threat of having somebody else with more passion to come in and take their seat, you know? Now, it's the and it's out of the 54% of the pastors that are looking at porn. I would say probably a large portion of them are people that were very, very involved in the fight, and that's the thing that he's used to take them out. And so that's another thing I want to call on to listeners to do, is to pray for your pastor. You know,
amen.
We just moved recently, but when we were in South Florida, we went to Calvary Chapel in Fort Lauderdale, and Bob Coy was the pastor there, and he was a man that he was absolutely on fire. He was radically changing the culture. He started an addiction program in Calvary Chapel. He had programs for crisis pregnancies. He had a program for foster children. They started a Christian school there. He spoke out against abortion, against sin. He encouraged discipleship. And Satan had a target on that man's back, you know, and unfortunately he did fall to adultery. But you know what? If he'd have been a lukewarm pastor and more focused on being a seeker friendly church and scared to offend people, he'd probably never have fallen. And you know, Satan would have risked vacating that seat, having someone and having somebody with passion come in and fill it. So, unfortunately, that's what we get. And that's one of the reasons we really got to pray for our pastors.
Right. If you're doing what God calls you to do, you're going to be attacked. I mean, you can guarantee it. If you're not being persecuted, as some of my friends have said, if you're not being persecuted, you're not doing it right.
Absolutely.
Because you should be getting persecuted. And so I'm not getting persecuted enough, but I feel plenty of persecution already. But your books, I tell you, they take us to a whole new level of persecution that a lot of people are uncomfortable with. So give us a little bit of background. Where are you coming from, Mark? You know, what's your background before you got into Prepper podcast and the podcast and the and writing the books? What led you to this, your testimony, your Prepper testimony, all that kind of stuff?
Well, I'd say 2008, when the housing bubble popped, right, and the market was crashing, and I'm looking at all of that, and I completely did not understand that. You know, 9/11, you can understand it's terrorism, it's people hijacking planes, mm-hmm, driving them into a building. You know, that's something you can wrap your mind around. You know, it's kind of a primal, I guess. But when they started talking about CDOs and derivatives and all of this kind of stuff, I had no idea what they were talking about. And I didn't understand why the economy was crashing. I didn't understand why they were saying, you know, this is about to be the end of the world as we know it. And we came very, very close there. And I didn't understand a thing about it. And that scared me. So I focused on getting educated about that. I went to school. I got an accounting degree. I actually was an accountant for a little while, but hated that. Absolutely hated it. I'm a big picture guy, and accounting's all about details. So that didn't work out for me at all. But through that, you know, I did have a better understanding of the economy. And I started looking at the things that they were doing to try to fix what had happened in 2008. You know, they said, well, the banks are too big to fail. Well, what they've done is they've taken a whole lot of those banks that were too big to fail, and they rolled them into bigger banks. So now they're too bigger to fail. You know, we had a fiat currency system, you know, which is, our entire economy is built on confidence. You know, if confidence fades, then the whole thing comes crashing down like a Jenga puzzle, basically. And, and so I looked at what they were doing. They're printing more fiat currency, which is, you know, we're just now starting to see that from the 8 years of money printing that went on under Obama. Well, they wrapped up QE a couple years ago, but, during the Obama administration, they doubled the money supply. We went from seven trillion in the M2 money supply to 14 trillion. So all of that money's been sort of sitting on the sideline, and we haven't really seen any inflation. But now that Trump's in, you know, all of a sudden we're getting a little consumer confidence. People are starting to spend money. People are starting to invest. All of a sudden, huge uptick in inflation in January. It's the most inflation we've seen since, I think they said, 2004. So in over a decade.
Well, it's always been there. Don't you think it's always been there? They're just now releasing it to try to stall off Trump's movement.
Some of that, yes, but all of this money is in the system. It hasn't, and I mean, we can look at the prices of everything from cars to a Starbucks coffee, and we can see that it hasn't doubled like it should have according to, the money supply. Because if you've got, let's say you've got an economy and you've got 10 pizzas and you've got $10, each pizza, it's a very simple economy, and that's the only two things in this economy is $10 and 10 pizzas. Each pizza's worth $1. Now, let's say you print another $10 because the Fed can do that.
Right.
Now, you've got 10 pizzas, you still got the same amount of goods and services in the economy, but suddenly you've got twice as much money in the economy. Now each pizza's worth what? $2. So now it costs me $2 to buy a pizza instead of just one. So the price of pizza just doubled. So since the M2 money supply has doubled, the price of the goods and services in that economy should have doubled, but they haven't. That's because everybody's been scared. They've been sticking that money in the mattress. They've been putting it in the bank for 0% interest because they didn't know what was going to happen under Obama. So now Trump's in office. There's some confidence there. We're going to see some real inflation. And another reason we're going to see inflation is There's not a whole lot of, of Americans that are willing to get up and tar a roof and put shingles on a roof for $10 an hour.
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's a reality. You know, when you start having less, people in the economy that, that are willing to work for that lower wage, you're going to have to expect to pay a higher price for it.
Well, I mean, Kentucky's governor got in a little bit of hot water because he told the truth a week or so ago about, you know, it's hard to compete against $16.50 an hour that the government will give you to stay at home and do nothing. I mean, because with all the benefits added together, a person is earning about 16 and a half an hour if they just apply for benefits instead of going out in the workforce.
Yeah, absolutely.
He said, we got to stop all these benefits that are keeping people out of the workforce because they're losing money if they go actually go to work. And it's just a more of a burden on the rest of the taxpayers, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a huge problem. And that's a huge part of our national debt, which, you know, also doubled under Obama. He came in.
Oh, yeah.
Bush had left a $10 trillion debt, but he's taken it to $20 trillion. And it just hit the $20 trillion mark right before he turned over the keys. He came in at $10 trillion, and it was $20 when he turned the keys over. So he actually
unfunded mandates, though.
In 8 years, spent the same amount of money the country had spent since 1776. He spent in 8 years. Overspent in 8 years. Not spent, but overspent.
Well, he printed and he obligated, not only did he spend it, but he obligated us to pay for things that they don't have money for. And all these pensions have been pushed back.
And they're popping.
And, I mean,
tsunami. I think it was the Dallas Police Department. They said, you know, you can't take an early withdrawal anymore. You know, they closed their window for being able to take a lump sum payment. We don't have it. Yeah. We can't do it.
I mean, it's going to, you know, everything's going to come crashing sooner than later. I was hoping that we'd have a little bit of a reprieve for most people to wake up and start getting some things in order. But I saw Yellen was talking about bumping up the rates and starts. It's going to start a trickle down, and you're going to start seeing your inflation shooting up, especially since China's dumping the dollar like crazy. I've seen them bonds, and your other countries are starting to dump some bonds. But, you know, the rest of the world, they're in a worse shape than we are.
Yeah. We're still
so
kind of
they gonna take
we're still kind of the shining shining city on a hill.
As far as currencies, even though ours is a fiat currency, ours is the most viable fiat currency out there. But, I mean, so you're going to see a massive move into gold and silver and other precious commodities that you can actually tangibly hold. I mean, I've been moving as much into silver as I could over the last. But
silver's up 15% since Trump was elected.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right. And gold's had a real good rally, and it's still trending up. It's you know, for the past month, it's been just steadily climbing. And that's one of the things that's one of the things that, you know, unlike pink sweaters or Volkswagens or something like that, if the demand climbs, you know, you can always hire more workers to produce more. That doesn't happen with gold, you know. There's a huge process of trying to locate the resource and then building out the mines and building out the infrastructure, because you don't go, you know, some guy with a beard and a pickaxe and a sieve doesn't go out to Sutter's Mill anymore and pull out, you know, 2 or 3 ounce nuggets of gold. They'll take these huge earth movers and they'll dig up tons and tons of earth, and they might get a half an ounce per ton of dirt. You know, it's little teeny bitty flakes, you know. So this is a huge process. And a lot of the mines that where they already know the gold is have been mothballed because they weren't, you know, these were mines that were opened back when gold was, you know, 1600, 1800. And, mm-hmm. and as the price started, crashing and started getting around 1000, they had to close the doors on all of these places, and they're not going to go reopen them just because it hit 1200. You know, it's going to have to get back up to 1600 before they'll even think about reopening. But by then, you know, you can already have a run on the metal, and it can be just too late to think about getting it. And you know, if that's something that you think you want in your portfolio, and you want gold and you want silver, I'd say you need to be doing that, because the prices are going to keep going up.
Doors closed.
And the supplies are going to keep getting tighter. And, you know, do it now or forever hold your peace. Yeah, forever hold your worthless greenbacks.
China and Russia have both been buying, and France have been buying up gold and silver. Because, you know, the country that's backed by gold and, you know, a currency that's backed by precious metals has more value. They're going to be in a better position the more gold and more silver they have to back their currencies. I don't know if, you know, they're going to back the currencies with those things, but, you know, that's the world of playing in the currency market.
Yeah,
interview the other day with Jim, and he was talking about getting into Swiss francs, and I've been getting into those as well. On the stuff that I've been, you know, selling on the show and stuff, so I've been receiving that in the form of Swiss francs and other basket currencies, just to try to spread out my risk, you know, so that we don't have everything in one basket.
Right.
So that's the thing about a prepper. You want multiple legs to stand on. You don't want to put too much trust in any one thing that could be very volatile.
Yeah, you're right.
So I really enjoyed your books, and I noticed something in a lot of your books. You talk about the seven steps, and you offer that as a free gift.
Yeah, I've got a banner, and you don't have to buy the book to get it. You can go to PrepperRecon.com. At the top of the homepage, right over the blog, there's a big banner that says "Click here for your free PDF," and you click that, and it'll automatically email you a PDF of the 7-step survival plan. And there, I walk through. You know, I walk through. I give you a prioritized thing, because there's a whole lot of confidence right now with since Trump's come into office, but you got to look at the things that are going on underneath the undercurrents. You know, we've got this group Antifa now, you know, which stands for anti-fascist. And ironically, you know, they look just like a bunch of brown shirts from Nazi Germany, the way they dress. They've got the armbands and everything. And, the left is absolutely, you know, gearing up for what looks like a communist revolution. And if this thing goes hot, it's going to happen really fast, and you're not going to be able to get prepared for that. That's not something you do overnight. So, just because Trump's in office, you know, yeah, that's great. We dodged a bullet. We didn't get Hillary. Things could have been a lot worse, but the threats aren't over, and Trump can't stop. He can't stop, the tectonic plates from moving and Cascadia and California, you know, Kentucky, you got a big fault line right there. The San,
Madrid,
the New Madrid fault. So there's stuff that is not political that is still very threatening to your survival. And so, that's something that you need to do now while there's not a huge threat. And I try to prioritize that, because when you first wake up to your need to prepare, it can be very overwhelming. There's so much to do. There's so much to think about. And so I try to just take everything and give you little bite-sized tidbits that's easy to chew on and digest, and it keeps everything prioritized. You know, I start out with you know, spiritual and mental and physical preparedness. You know, looking at yourself. Are you where you need to be? Are you physically in shape? You know, are you ready to meet your maker? Because 10 out of 10 people still die. You know, are you learning skills? Because that's all stuff that people can't take away. And then after that, then we look at your budget. You know, are you financially stable? Are you ready to weather an economic storm? Because that's one of the biggest risks that, that we've got going right now. And if you've got, if you're underwater on your house and you've taken out three, HELOCs and you're spending more than you're making, then you're not going to do very well at all if the stock market blows up and you get laid off from work, you know, or your hours get cut or, you know, God forbid you're retired and your pension gets cut and they're giving you 70 cents on the dollar for your pension, which is probably going to happen to a whole lot of people. And then
probably
after we've
done, probably more 30.
Yeah. You never know, especially if we get another, if we have another real estate, bubble pop, because that's how they fund a lot of the city pensions is through the taxes. So when you get the property values get cut, then the property tax base gets cut. So there's less available to pay out. So that's a hard thing on municipalities when there's a real estate bubble. And we've already seen that. So, and then after that, then we start looking at the prepper stuff, you know, then we start looking at the beans, bullets and band-aids and bullion and, bug out bases and bug out bags and all of that kind of thing. So it's a free resource. Right. And I definitely encourage everybody to get that. Just go over to prepperrecon.com, big banner right there at the top of the site. Just click it, fill it out, and I'll email that straight to your inbox.
Yeah. It's really good and concise. For the beginner, you know, person that's just starting to look at prepping, if they've read one of your books, you know, they're all freaked out and running for the basement. But,
exactly.
I think it's a very well laid out, very well thought out, plan. And it's not too much to read. It's not so much that you get lost in the woods. You know, it keeps you focused and keeps it simple. And then you can always expand on each of those segments of, you know, the seven steps. I was one of those. My brother gave me Jim Rawls's book, Patriots. And, I read that. Well, I started reading that and it was like, I can't read this. And I put it down for a while. And then I go back and pick it up and I read some more. And it was just like, it was this paradigm shift between what I to be, and then this alternative thing that he was showing me of what could happen. And I could say, okay, this lines up with that, this lines up with that. And so I finished the book and I tried to get my wife to read it because I was already flipped out and I was start buying guns and ammo. And I mean, I already had guns and ammo, but I went and bought more guns and ammo. And started freaking out about, you know, we need silver, we need gold, we need this. And I started making this list of stuff. And I started, you know, it was before Craigslist. I was eBaying and going to different places and buying stuff and bringing it home. She's like, what do we need 50 pounds of oats for? why are you buying 25 gallon jugs of coconut oil? And, you know, what is, why are you doing this? And, his book came out, audio book, and we were going to Florida and I thought, this is how I'm going to get here. So I turned on the audio book of Jim Rawls's Patriots. And by the time we got to Georgia, she had a notepad and was writing down stuff.
You're a captive audience.
Yeah. She couldn't get out. She had to listen and she tried to sleep as much as she could, but when she would listen to it, she was like, what about chickens? You know? So, by the time we were in Florida, she's like, we got to make a list. We need to get back home. I'm like, it's okay. It's like, she's like, well, you got this? I'm like, yeah, I've got that. And so she got on board with me. But it was not a very amicable, and it was not very God-centered. It was a fearful run to try to get stuff done. I don't want people to get caught up in that. I don't want people to go through it the way I went through it and the way I forced my wife into it. But you do need to realize that all governments can fail and all economies collapse on a regular basis. By every 250 years, economy or a country was going to collapse.
That's the end of the first half of my interview on the God and Guns podcast. Tune in next week for the rest of the show.
In A Haunt for Jackals by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, Danny Walker's survival retreat has been devastated by violence since the detonation of the EMP. Regent Slusher's designs on absolute power have already brought him to Danny's doorstep once, leaving a trail of blood and heartbreak in his wake. Another conflict with a malicious dictator will spell certain death for the remaining members of the compound. Danny's only hope is to infiltrate Slusher's camp and bring him down from the inside. It's a risky proposition. If he is caught, he'll be executed as a spy, but there is no other alternative. In this epic struggle between good and evil, Danny's mettle will be tested, his faith will be tried, and he'll have to dig deep for the courage to continue. Buy your copy of A Haunt for Jackals, Book 3 of Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.